Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org.
And our scripture passage today is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 to 13. This passage, you may know it as the quote-unquote love passage. And in fact, when Becky asked me what I was preaching on for this week, and I said the topic is love, you know, it's Valentine's Day, like it just feels like you got to do this, she said, oh, are you preaching on the love passage? And this is exactly what she meant. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 to 13. So you can pull that up on your phone or open up your Bibles if you have one with you. Or if you're joining us online, just open up a new tab on your web browser. But just have God's Word open and in front of you this morning. And this passage is about love. And love, as we're talking about it in this morning, love is desiring and working toward the good of another person. That's kind of our working definition of love. Love is desiring and working toward the good of another person. Love is about our desire. We want others to be successful. We want others to have their needs met. We want others to be able to live a full and flourishing life. But love also means we do something about it. We work towards other people being successful. We work towards other people having their needs met. We work towards other people living a full and flourishing life. Love is about desiring and working toward the good of others. Where are all my Chiefs fans at this morning? Yes, keeping the faith, Suzanne Linters. Yes, it's a number of you. It's good to see you. I'm glad you're back. I just want to say, Chiefs fans, you were great models for us last week as you came dressed in all of your attire. You guys desired what was good for your team. You desired a Super Bowl victory. You wanted the good of the Chiefs. And even though you guys aren't players, you did what you could to work towards that. You had watch parties. You made delicious food. You cheered them on. You guys desired and worked toward the good of the Chiefs. Now, on a total side note, this has nothing to do with the sermon. I do want to give you one word of caution when you go to say, there's always next year. My father-in-law has been a Cleveland Browns fan his entire life. There's always next year. Don't worry, you have Patrick Mahomes, you're set. Elsewhere, so the Apostle Paul, he's the one who wrote 1 Corinthians. He also wrote the book of Philippians. And in the book of Philippians in chapter 2, we get another definition for love that I think echoes this understanding of love as desiring and working for the good of another person. In Philippians 2, Paul writes and says, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Do you hear it in that verse? To desire what's good for others, to value them above yourselves, and to work for their good, to value their interests just as much, if not more, than your own interests. So without further ado, let's pray, and then we'll read God's word together. God, thank you for the gift of your word. And thank you that by your Spirit, you speak to us through your word today, just as you did when this was written. And God, we are so thankful for your love and for your presence here with us. God, we want to know you more deeply. We want to love you more intensely. And so, God, we ask that you would give us open hearts and make us eager to hear what you are saying to us this morning. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I have to the poor, and if I give my body over in hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. For now, we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Who has ever heard this passage read at a wedding ceremony? Quite a few of you, almost everyone. Who had this passage read at your wedding ceremony? Yeah, quite a few of you. This is an incredible, beautiful passage about love that has so much to teach us about marriage. So it's very fitting that we read this and study this at wedding ceremonies. And for anyone here who has been married longer than, 12 hours, you understand that love is much more than a feeling. Love includes feelings, but those can wax and wane. Love, at its root, it is desiring and working for the good of another person to put your spouse's interests above that of your own interests. And I think I've said this at most wedding ceremonies I've done, but there is no secret to marriage beyond that. If each of you daily can value your spouse above yourself and work for their interests, you will go far in your marriage. But here's the fun thing about this passage, 1 Corinthians 13, is that it has nothing to do with marriage. This passage, oddly enough, this might sound kind of weird, but this passage is actually all about spiritual gifts. So when Paul is writing this letter, he's writing to the church in Corinth. That's where we get the name Corinthians. And he's writing to a church that is messed up. And when I say messed up, trust me when I say the Corinthians are messed up people. I'll save you the list of everything that is wrong. But basically, the entire books of 1 and 2 Corinthians, Paul is writing and he's saying, you people have issues. And he explains all the ways in which they are not living in love. And one of the things that they're doing is that they are abusing spiritual gifts. So God gives spiritual gifts to his people, gifts like tongues and prophesying and teaching and generosity and all these other spiritual gifts, and he gives them to his people so that the body of Christ can be built up, and so that we can live in unity, and so that we can live in love with one another. But in the Corinthian church, spiritual gifts were being used for just the opposite. They were being used to tear down. They were being used to create division. People who had the spiritual gifts, they were doing it probably in a very prideful manner. People who felt like they were left out and they didn't have spiritual gifts, they were envious and they were jealous of those people that did possess spiritual gifts. And so spiritual gifts are being flipped and they are being abused in a way that they were never intended to. And so Paul is writing to the Corinthians to address this, and he lets them know that spiritual gifts are great, but if they are not stewarded and used in love, they're worthless. And in fact, they can even be harmful. And so that's what Paul is saying in those first three verses of our passage. I love the images that he uses, especially in verse 1. He says, if I speak in tongues of angels, but I do not have love, I'm nothing but a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. He's saying, I can have the gift of tongues, but if I don't use it in a loving way, it's all just noise. And then later on in verse 3, he says, if I give all I possess to the poor, and I give over my body to hardship, meaning if I have the spiritual gift of generosity, and in fact I give up my own body as a living sacrifice to God, but I don't have love, I gain nothing. Spiritual gifts, they only matter if they're used in love to build up God's people. Otherwise, they're worthless. Otherwise, we gain nothing. Otherwise, they can be downright harmful. And then Paul continues on. We're going to skip verses 4 to 7. That's kind of the verses 4 to 7 is the part that always gets read at weddings. We're kind of going to gloss over that. It's a beautiful list that extols all of the virtues and the beautiful qualities of love. But we're going to jump down to verses 8 to 13. And in those verses, we encounter some really confusing language. And I don't know if you picked up on it, but it's kind of hard to follow in the English. But Paul is using this language of in part, and then in full, in part, and then in full. And what he's saying is right now, in our current world, we know God in part. Our knowledge of God is very much partial. We only possess a little piece of the whole. And consequently, our love for God is also partial in the sense that it's pretty small. We don't know God. We don't know that much of God, and likewise, our love matches that. But Paul says, one day, you're going to know God in full. When Jesus returns, just as he promised that he would, and we see Jesus face to face, when that happens, we're going to know God in full. We will know God completely, and we will be able to love God in a manner that we have never even dreamed would be possible. And here's the deal. When we're with God face to face, all of the other spiritual gifts that Paul talks about, they're all worthless. There is no longer any use for them anymore. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. When we are with God face to face, even though Josh is a wonderful preacher, even though Carl Borsma is a wonderful preacher, even though Kat's a wonderful preacher, even though I'm a mediocre preacher, there will be no more use for any preaching. It'll be worthless. We don't need anyone to tell us about God because we will be with God face to face. And so Paul says, look, you all are fixated on spiritual gifts, but you're missing the point because those gifts are going to go away. But love is always going to be there. Because we will be with God face to face, and love is essential to God's character. Preaching, prophesying, tongues, generosity, it all goes away. But love will only increase as we fully love God for the first time when we're with him face to face. And so that's what he means in verse 13 when he says, only three remain: faith, hope, and love, qualities essential to God's character. And Paul says, and the greatest of these is love. And it made me think of the verse from 1 John chapter 4 where we read that God is love. There's something about love that is so essential to God's character that John would actually write those words and say that God is love. It's a powerful, powerful statement. Love is essential. There's been all this discussion, since COVID set in of, what is essential? Well, I can affirm to you this morning that love is essential. It's essential to God's character, and it's essential to our lives and to our faith as Christians, people who follow after God. We are called to love God and to love one another. And Paul is letting the Corinthians know that they are missing the mark because their gifts are not being used in love. They're worthless, and in fact, they might be harmful. So here's what I love about love. It's kind of a clunky statement, but here's what I love about love. Love is a gift that is universally accessible. So those spiritual gifts, there's not one person in the world that possesses every single one of the spiritual gifts that Paul talks about. But love, anybody can love. Any of you here today, if you're a follower of Jesus, no matter how clunky or how floundering you feel in your faith, it doesn't matter. If you are a follower of Jesus, if you place your faith in him, you are capable of loving someone else. You are more than capable of desiring and working for the good of another person. So even though love is essential, in one sense, love is not all that special because any one of you are capable of loving. Now, up to this point, we've been talking about spiritual gifts because that's what Paul is talking about in context here, spiritual gifts. But I think we can sort of broaden it a little bit. And I think the same logic applies to every gift that we've received in our lives. Because here's the deal. Our entire lives are a gift from God. God made us. God sustains us. God has given us families and people near us to love. He's given us friendships. He's given us jobs that we work at. He's given us volunteer positions. He's given us homes and finances. We could just go on and on. Our entire lives are a gift. And so I don't think it's just spiritual gifts that we need to be reminded are to be used in love, but it's all of our gifts, our material possessions, our relationships, our talents, our educational backgrounds. Everything that we have is a gift, and it's all meaningless if it's not used in love and if it's not used to build up others and to build up the body of Christ. All right, let's take a time out because though this passage is very beautiful and poetic, this passage is kind of technical. So let's mix it up here for a minute. There was a young man in our church a while back ago, And one day he approached me and he said, "Hey, Jake, whenever a young person in our congregation approaches me and says, 'Hey, Jake,' I get a little nervous because you never know. You never know what's coming next." So he says, "Hey, Jake." I'm like, "Yeah, bud, what's up?" He says, Isn't it kind of crazy how the company Amazon has an entire rainforest named after them?" And I did what you just did, only it became apparent in about 5 more seconds that this was no joke. Dead serious. Are you aware that there is a rainforest named after one of the world's largest corporations? So I laughed because it's really funny. But then after I thought about it for a few minutes, I mean, this guy has a point. If you're his age, you've grown up with Amazon your entire life. Now you tell me what leaves a bigger impression on him. The fact that one time in school he learned that there's a rainforest in Brazil called the Amazon, or the fact that every single week packages with a big Amazon label are getting dropped off on his house's doorstep, right? This company, Amazon, has this incredible reach and influence, and we all know that it's a brave new world we're living in, but this kind of puts it into focus. You know, Amazon has incredible influence. And then by virtue, Amazon's founder and now former CEO, Jeff Bezos, he has incredible influence as a result of this company that he founded and helped grow. And to go along with that, Jeff Bezos has incredible wealth to the tune of $185 billion. Morgan, can we get that very official diagram up on the screen? I summoned every bit of engineering knowledge that I had left from my undergrad, and I made this very scientific diagram. So, and actually, this is to scale. So if you take the average, I spent way too much time on this, by the way. If you take the average net worth of an American household, that would be that tiny dot right there. And then, contrary to popular belief, that is not, the blue square is not for Josh Van Leeuwen, that is for Jeff Bezos. So that just puts it into perspective. But even that image doesn't quite do justice to just how much money Jeff Bezos has. And then by virtue of that, whether he wants to or not, Jeff Bezos is going to command incredible influence and probably political influence. He doesn't even have to try. It just comes with having that much money. But here's the deal. In terms of 1 Corinthians 13, Jeff Bezos' wealth and influence, it pales in comparison to any one of you if you live your life in love. Jeff Bezos' wealth and influence pales in comparison to any one of you if you live your life in love. And I say that not just because it sounds good, but because I sincerely believe that is true. And that's what Paul is talking about. He says all of those gifts that you've been given, they are meaningless if you don't steward them in love. If you don't have love, it's worth nothing, and in fact, it could be dangerous. So the question for us this morning, Westview, is, well, first off, are you aware of how much you have been given? How much grace God has poured out on you? Are you aware that your entire lives are a gift from start to finish? And then the second question is, how can you steward those gifts? How can you be grateful for them and then respond and use them in love? How can you value others more than yourself? And how can you look out not just for your own interests, but for the interests of others? One of my other favorite verses, as I was prepping the sermon, I realized this might be groundbreaking for some of you. There's a lot of verses in Scripture about love. As it turns out, if God is love, vast portions of the Bible are about his love and his grace and about how he graciously deals with his people. But another one that came to mind was 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. And we'll wrap up with this. This is what's said in this passage. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. There's something about love, and that it even covers and makes up for all of our shortcomings. We know in this life that we're going to make mistakes. We have made mistakes. We're going to continue to make mistakes. We'll keep making mistakes. We'll keep falling short of the glory of God. But if we love one another, and if we love God, we'll be okay. To put it in different words, when I think about this verse, I think, let love be your singular focus in this life. And if love is your aim, you'll be all right, no matter what happens. A lot of us, we wrestle with, what does it mean that God is calling us to do something? So many of us had time, almost all of us, I'm guessing, have had a time in your life when you wonder, what is God calling me to do? And that's a huge question. But if your aim is love, in one sense, it doesn't really matter what you do, because you're doing the will of God if you're doing it in love. And then this makes me think of God himself. God loves us. God's singular focus for us is love. That's why he created us at love. If you go all the way back to Genesis, God sustains us by his grace and his love. And then God gives us Jesus to walk alongside of us, to be friends with us, and then to die for us and to give us new resurrection life. That's incredible love. But then God wasn't done there, because then God gives us the gift of his Spirit. And as we read elsewhere in Scripture, the Spirit, God himself, dwells inside of us. That's a whole other sermon series that we can't even get into. God's singular focus is love. And so that's my big encouragement for you today. Let your singular focus be love, and you won't ever go far off the mark. Let's pray. God, we are so thankful, first off, for your love. God, that you made us, you sustain us, you've redeemed us. And God, we thank you that you have made us to be your people, the people of God. God, we thank you that you have gathered us here this morning as Westview Church, as your beloved people. And God, we thank you as well for all of the ways in which we have experienced your love through other people. God, thank you for family and friends and coworkers and fellow church members, all of the people that you have put into our lives, God, and who show us your love in our relationships with them. And so, God, we ask that today you would help us to clearly see and understand how our entire lives are a gift from you, from start to finish. And God, give us gratitude for all we've been given. And God, with all of our gifts, with all of our relationships, job titles, families, our money, our talents, whatever it is. God, give us a singular focus to use all of that in love, to use that to look out not just for our own interests, but for the interests of others. God, we long to be like Jesus and to share in his love and to show his love to others. And so, God, we ask that it would be so. Give us your spirit. Empower us to be the people of God. God, grow our desire to know you and to love you and to love one another. And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus and in the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church Podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.